on a brief break in the preliminary hearing, afternoon session, day three. The prosecutor is putting on witnesses to fight a defense motion to suppress evidence that the police obtained prior to obtaining a search warrant at the O.J. Simpson house. We've been listening to Detective Mark Furman.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge along with Christina Staffo, and we continue our conversation with Jim Murray.
How shocked were you that they only took 4 hours to deliberate? Everybody thought this was going to be days upon days of deliberation, and then boom, we're back in 4 hours. And even to the point where Judge Ito said, all right, you know what? Well, let's come back tomorrow and do this. The breakneck speed of the deliberations, it was just amazing.
Well, again, I think you have a jury that had been trapped for, you know, the better part of a year. And I think at that point, they just wanted to get out of there. The verdict didn't really surprise me. I would have really understood, and I respect the verdict, even though I believe O.J. did it, you know? I mean, and by the way, I never spoke about that for years, my personal feelings. But I think that it only underscores how angry the jury was. If the jury feels like they're either being lied to or they're being put out in some fashion that is unreasonable or unfair, I think they're going to react, and I think that's what they did here.
So what do you think is the most memorable moment for you with all of those days of live coverage? Was there one moment that stood out for you?
Well, the glove incident was certainly big. You know, I mean, I remember...
Yeah.
I just remember the shock, you know? And every day I would go to work, and I'd say, nothing will surprise me. And you know what? There was about 3, 4, 5 weeks of DNA testimony. Boy, it was just brutal. I remember a moment where Robert Shapiro didn't do a lot of the cross-examination, but the coroner was on the stand for about, I think he was on the stand for 11 days or something like that.
Goodness.
And the jury saw life-size photos, autopsy photos. And I was among a group of 25 or so journalists who were invited by the court to view those photos. And it was horrific. I'm telling you, I wish I had not seen those photos. And the jury was able to see them. The TV audience was not. Now, what happened? The jury saw those photos for, say, 9 days. It only took Robert Shapiro 45 minutes to do a cross-examination and basically sit down. And so the jury's left with the feeling like, why were we looking at these for 2 weeks?
Right.
When it only took 45 minutes to cross-examine, that was a big moment, because I think that was another defining time for the jury to say, wait a minute, the defense can get rid of this in 45 minutes and it takes the prosecutor 2 weeks. Why are we going through this? So, you know, those two moments, the photos and then the glove, were just huge.
When all of this was over and the daily grind of covering the trial was completed for you, how did you feel? I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, you were so immersed in this for months upon end, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's the verdict. It's now over. What sort of level of withdrawal did you have to go through?
Well, I definitely had withdrawal. It was short-lived because there was a civil case that went on for three or so months.
Right.
And so we were then immersed in yet a different fiasco, right? But, I felt really badly for the Goldman family and for the Brown family after the verdict, because they had not gotten what they considered to be justice, and they were still in pain. So, this was, even though it was a TV show for the country,
mm-hmm.
it was entertainment in some bizarre way for the country,
mm-hmm.
this was a serious case of a double murder, and not just a double murder, but a vicious, in-your-face, personal
yeah.
double murder. But having done this so intensely for, I think I was on the air for about 1,000 hours live.
Wow.
Wow.
And then to turn that off. And I thought, wow, what do I do now? You know that feeling. It's like when you graduate from high school, you go, well, what am I going to do for
exactly.
the rest of my
now
life?
What,
what do I do? It's crazy.
If I'm and you, am I compelled to go sit in like traffic court on Thursday nights just so you can get some kind of buzz off that? You know, it's completely different.
I told my wife that I wanted to put a desk in our living room so that when the UPS guy came, I could at least interview him.
Is he delivering gloves by chance, honey? Please.
Can we order something, please?
Well, you know, we really appreciate your time. Jim explained to us he's trying to catch a plane soon, so he's actually sitting outside an airport. So we really do appreciate your time.
We really do.
And you know, it's funny. You're the second person from Inside Edition we've had on the show. We've had Deborah Norville, the anchor of Inside Edition, on, what, four times?
That's right.
And she is now the proud owner of a personalized America Weekend mug created by the co-host, Christina Staffo. And you know what this means, Jim? I think you're going to be getting a mug pretty soon. So.
Oh, I'm so excited. Listen, I was looking forward to this. I really was.
Oh,
this is great.
I'm very depressed that it's 20 years already.
I know.
Oh, I know.
We're all older now.
Yes.
I don't like that.
You know what, Jim? Imagine what it's going to be like 20 years from today and you're on the show and we're talking about the 40th anniversary of the verdict. So, but we really do appreciate your time. This has been terrific. Once again, you can catch Jim as the chief correspondent of Inside Edition. Check your local listings for time and channel. Jim Murray, thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Jim. Stay with us.
Bye-bye.
More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So what will you stand in line for? When was the last time you played the waiting game? Why did you wait so long? Here's the social science of it. It's a funny thing, waiting. It can never be completely obliterated, only reduced. First off, you'll wait on the person who has what you want. Next, you'll wait when you think it's an investment. And the longer you wait, the more you'll believe it's worth it. That's technically referred to as cognitive dissonance. We know we're wasting time, but our brain manufactures reasons why it's worth it. What's the cheap psychological trick? Waiting is inevitable, but don't be tricked by it. Just like you should pick your battles, pick those things you wait for. Make sure it's cost-effective, and then it's worth the wait. So do you have a question? I'd love to hear from you. Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer is the ABA's second all-time leading scorer. His combined 27,000 points makes him the ninth leading scorer in NBA ABA history.
And it rolls away, and this one Gilmore battle for it, and Issel wins and scores and fouls.
So where is Dan Issel now? Dan initially retired to a horse farm, but returned to the hardwood in 1992 as coach of the Denver Nuggets. He spent six seasons coaching the team over two stints, the second ending in a racially charged incident with a fan. Dan went through bankruptcy, but he's begun a new career as the executive director of the Bel Air Presbyterian Church. Looks like Dan Issel found a higher calling. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. 888-759-MYTV.